Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of Hebrews chapter 13, we were warned to beware of home Bible studies that may slip in doctrines that are not scriptural. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Let me also warn, be careful of these little home Bible studies and club gathering studies. The Word of God will build you up in the faith. It takes you to the person of Christ. Then the Holy Spirit brings the things of Christ to you and makes them real. But many times, these home Bible studies, these club gathering studies, introduce things that are contrary to the Word of God. And many times, if you have a Bible preaching pastor, they want these home studies in order to redirect your thinking away from that and introduce false doctrine. And so they sneak in privily, unawares, and they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, why is this command at the beginning of verse 9 to be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines? That the heart might be established with grace. See, the Hebrew Christians to whom this book was addressed were in danger of going back to incorporate some of the old law ceremonies into their Christianity. But the Old Testament scriptures themselves show that the Jews were not profited thereby. These little rituals and study groups added nothing to their faith. They began to undermine the things of the church. Satan tries to bring our past back to our life, to try to bring us down to where we were. And he'll make things look righteous and all right. That's why you must be equipped with the Word of God. The idea is to establish the heart with grace. Now this, again, is a present imperative in Greek, which means keep on, keeping on, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in your heart. 2 Peter 3:18 reiterates that to us. Grace follows the preacher who preaches the word. Verse 7, that we may know the one who is unchanging all the more intimately. Verse 8, too many Christians are living hopeless lives because they're living in the peripheral instead of the eternal, unchanging God. They don't want inside that box. Hope is not a new mate. It's not a new church. It's not a new pastor. All hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it must be based in the eternal. Now, as unpopular as the message was, Jesus continued to preach it without compromise. Now, it would have been much easier for Jesus to tell all the people what they wanted to hear. Yet, he knew that the message he preached was the message of eternal life. My friend, he never diluted it, changed it, or backed down from proclaiming it. Neither should his followers. That message needs to be given by us to a world in order to let them know they are sinners, but they can be saved from their sin. And it is to let young people know they can be saved before they're caught up in the filth of sin. We want to reach them before they reach those people of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, who were adulterers and idolaters and murderers and whoremongers and homosexuals and drunkards and the party and social drinking crowd, revelings, in other words, and that whole group. We want to get them before they get there. They might get saved and they don't go through those things. Yet God can save them from it, but why go through it? And yes, we let the world know we are too sinners, but we are saved sinners. I was recently on a Sunday morning, a visitor came into our parking lot, and his wife had received Christ, and she wanted to be baptized, and I had not had a chance to talk to him, and I had talked to her, and she was going to be baptized, and he started asking, well, what's the difference? I was raised a Catholic, and I got baptized at birth, and then later I got confirmed. And I says, well, your baptism, you think it's going to get you to heaven because your church tells you so. We don't believe that our baptism is going to get us to heaven. But we do believe baptism is God's first command after our salvation. The only thing that's going to get us to heaven is Jesus Christ, not the church. And I says, you know, that baptism shows that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, every sin we ever have or ever will commit, and was buried. And 3 days later, he rose up victorious over hell and the grave. And so we know that our sins have been paid for in full. And I says, but right now, what I am is I'm a saved sinner. He says, then what does that make me? I says, that makes you an unsaved sinner. You've never been saved. Till you trust Christ and Christ alone, not Christ and the church, Christ alone for your salvation. Well, the man just kind of seemed a little shook by that, but he walked on in. I was thankful. He was a man, you know, I'm not a small man, but boy, that guy looked like he'd make about two of me. But he walked on in, heard the gospel that morning, and walked the aisle and received Christ as Savior. But you know, that man needed to hear that he was a sinner. But Christ could save him. But to realize also that we are just saved sinners, but we're carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've seen the rule of verse 7, the righteous of verses 8 and 9. Now let's look at the resolve of verses 10 through 15. Now verses 10 through 13 seem to illustrate the difference between the symbolism of the old and the reality of the new. Now let's read verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now he starts off saying here, we have an altar. Now this apostle Paul that God is using to pen his words is a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he was used by the Holy Spirit, I believe personally, to write this book. Now if God used someone else, that doesn't ruin anything for me. It seems to ruin some people's days to say that Paul was used to write this, and others it would ruin their day to say Paul wasn't used to write it. It doesn't ruin my day. Either way, I just happen to think that he wrote this book, and I'll say so when we get to the end of this chapter. That's why I think that, because that's the least important thing for us right now in this study. But Hebrew Christians will understand. He knows that from which they came. He's very familiar with it because Paul was trained in the Sanhedrin. He was more knowledgeable of it than they were because he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, it is scripturally impossible to apply the altar of Christ to the old way. There are at least 400 references to the altar in the Old Testament, but it's rarely mentioned in the New Testament. Why? Because the shedding of Christ's blood made the altar obsolete. To continue to offer the blood of bulls and goats to God after the shedding of Christ's blood was an insult, not an inspiration. Believers have a better altar and sacrifice. They which serve the tabernacle have no right to the blood of Christ, since they are going back to the type instead of the reality. showing a lack of true faith in Christ, a lack of true faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes us to verse 11. He says there, "For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp." Now, again, he's telling us the bodies of the beasts were taken without the camp. They weren't eaten as they would have been with the sweet savor and other offerings. Now, when he says without the camp, he is speaking of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, in Jesus' day, it was outside the walls of Jerusalem. He was slain outside the city walls on a hill of shame. Outside the gate, Jesus is hanging on a rugged tree, proclaimed the true sin offering. He is forsaken of God as under the curse of sin. But that was necessary, totally necessary, for our atonement. These Hebrew Christians are being told that instead of going back, go without the camp and bear reproach with the Lord Jesus Christ. We could summarize the twofold message of the book of Hebrews as within the veil, fellowship with Christ, and then without the camp, witness for Christ. Within the veil, fellowship with Christ, without the camp, witness for Christ. Jesus, for the sole purpose of sanctifying his people with his blood, suffered without the camp. And that's what verse 12 is teaching us. He says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Now, sanctification simply means to make holy. We are, through the blood of Christ, set aside unto God to be made holy. Now understand, even if I wanted to be saved, without the blood of Christ, I couldn't be saved. I couldn't approach God without the blood of Christ. That's why it was necessary for him to apply his blood at the mercy seat in heaven. That's why it was so necessary for him to do that, because I can't even come unto God except by him. Oh, my friend, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ was so important. That virgin birth was of utmost importance, because even if we wanted to be saved, we could not approach unto a holy, righteous God without that atoning blood to cover us and to seek his salvation. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.